Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Corporal Josh Hyman, United States Marine Corps, retired. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Oh, please. What drove you to sign up for the Marines?
Well, I am from Northern Virginia, and during the beginning weeks of my senior year, we experienced September 11th, and it was a pretty dramatic moment in my life, having, you know, a lot of my classmates having parents at the Pentagon. So September 11th was...
You're very close.
So it was a, you know... Yeah, so it was a real thing for me that I experienced in person with you know kids crying in the hallway, and it's just a day I never forgot.
Yeah.
So I just felt after I graduated school, I was like I have my whole life to be in business, but I only have one opportunity to serve my country and to really do it for my classmates there that day. So
yeah.
Wow. That's what drove me to join the
Marines. How old were you September 11th, and what age did you join the Marines?
Yeah, so I think probably 17 or 18. I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
And then I joined the Marines after I had graduated from college.
Oh, wow. Okay, you held that energy.
Yeah.
For a while. You get out of college, like, I'm going.
Yep, here we go.
So you sign up, and you're young 20s. And how long from the time you sign up to the time you find yourself in Afghanistan?
I probably trained for about a year. So, during that time, it was kind of the tail end of the Iraq War. And then all of a sudden, the battalion commander came out and said that our mission had changed and we would be the first units into the surge into Afghanistan. So I was part of the first Marine units there when we went back into Afghanistan. And, unfortunately, in one of the last weeks of the deployment, I was right in the back seat of a Humvee. And we rolled over an IED. I was ejected and sustained multiple spinal cord injuries.
Oh. So you're in a Humvee in Afghanistan, September 2009. And what do you remember the moments? Do you remember right before that moment? And how much of that do you, the whole occurrence, do you remember?
Yeah, I was pretty fortunate to be pretty conscious through the whole thing. I had a really bad gut feeling. I don't know if that's
really
a premonition or something.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah,
and when it happened, I was concerned about what was going on with everybody else, what was the situation, and once I could figure once I was able to breathe again and realize that I was alive, I realized that I couldn't get up.
So
you guys were
getting close to leaving. You were like at the end of your run, and you had a bad feeling. What do you remember that? When did that feeling happen? When you woke up, or when you were in the Humvee right before it happened?
We started, just naturally in a Humvee, or we were in a much more susceptible type of vehicle. Right, our vehicle really wasn't made to handle IEDs.
Yeah, more vulnerable.
Eventually later they came out with better vehicles to handle the IEDs, but they were just a weapon that the enemy used, and they were just constantly around us, and we had been picking them up, and finding them, but we couldn't find all of them. Unfortunately, one caught me and my other team members.
Which tire hit, and where were you sitting?
I was in the back seat. And basically the IED, and of course, some of the guys know all the different things about an IED, but all I know is it basically front flipped and flipped a 10,000 pound Humvee.
Wow. That's some blast.
And basically, just flipped the vehicle. So basically just crashed. And I was kind of, at some point, I'm not sure how I survived the crash. I guess I had been ejected from the vehicle, but, you know, I had all my gear on with my weight plates, and with that and the impact to the ground, I suffered the spinal cord injuries. But again, you know, as bad as my injuries are, I'm very fortunate to be alive. And there were 14 men from my battalion that gave their lives to our country. And actually the first two, you know, dying in July. So it's always a humbling experience to me. And I always say I'm so lucky. And those guys are the real heroes.
Man, thank you is not enough for people like you.
Seriously.
Those you lost and their families.
Nope. There were no words.
Corporal Josh Hyman, United States Marine Corps, retired, was the 40th van recipient for Help Our Military Heroes back in December of 2014. How did that change your life, getting that van?
You know, it's crazy. You know, there's a lot of gaps with the VA. You know, I guess I don't know if some people think that, you know, when you come over that the government takes care of everything. It's just not the case. And one of those large gaps is vehicles. I mean, what do we do now? I mean, I was kind of like, you know, what do I do? I'm in a wheelchair. It's not like you can just go to a normal dealership and buy a car. When I got introduced to Help Our Military Heroes, I was just like, what? You guys are going to help with me getting a van? And it was just, it's been such a blessing. And it gave me the chance and independence to go places and experience things that I didn't think that were going to be possible again. And what I'm most proud of is I am the 40th van recipient, but you know, I just checked in the other day and I looked at, and I don't know if this is right, but they're at 189 vans now.
Pretty incredible.
To me, just to see the blessing continually getting passed down is the most amazing thing to me.
It's really amazing the work that they do.
Yeah.
That help our military heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that they get goes right back.
Yep, the
There's
whole thing.
There's no administration, none of that.
There's no percentage, no, the whole thing.
We're doing a benefit for them August 5th at Grassy Hill Country Club in Orange. It's a comedy show. Jim Florentine is there. We're very lucky to have him.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the traveling tribe going, so we'll all get a taste of what it's going to be like partying together on our trip to Punta Cana.
Right.
But there's still some tickets available, and we'd love to have you there. Tickets are online, $30. Every penny goes to help our military heroes, and you could hear where that money goes.
Exactly.
Right here in Josh Hyman. You know, the Veterans Administration, for all the great work they do, it does suck. Because we all do believe if you become paraplegic in the line of duty trying to protect us, well, we're just going to write checks out for
you. Exactly right.
We're going to make sure you're okay.
Everything's fine, yes.
And it's not, unfortunately, it's not the case.
Yeah, it sucks.
So, thank God for them.
Yep.
Well, Josh, thank you so much for coming on. I don't even know what to say. I mean, thank you is not enough.
No.
It's just not enough.
Well, thank you guys, Chaz and AJ, for helping me. And thank you for your support of Help Our Military Heroes. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal nonprofit. And I encourage everyone to donate.
And what do you do now? How do you keep yourself busy?
Yeah, so interesting. I'm a financial technology entrepreneur now.
Nice.
I was
awesome.
Went back to my business roots and went back into finance and now and develop finance software. So
that's excellent.
Oh, that's cool. So your finance software, does it predict markets? What does that do?
I specialize in valuing private companies.
Oh.
That's kind of my niche in the space. Again, I enjoy every day because I really know what hard days are like, like they were in Afghanistan. You know, I think about those days and how hard they were in terms of, you know, over 100 degrees, you know, having no cold water, being up for more than 24 or 30 hours straight sometimes.
Camel
and
spiders.
I just look back at just all of it. And so, you know what? It's a great reflection because it makes every day easy.
Yeah, that's we don't even think about that.
Yeah.
Just life there in general.
Yeah. No picnics. Yep.
We had some veterans come in and gave us some what are they? Meals ready to eat.
Oh, the MREs, yes.
Yeah. MREs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty horrible.
Yep.
I mean, it's great. Get to eat.
Yeah, you want to eat something.
We're like,
but yeah.
Oof. This is just one meal I was grossed out. Can you imagine living years in a desert with giant spiders and
it's no
people
picnic.
Trying to kill you and away from family and no contact and eating those meals and just for us.
Yep.
People you never met.
Thank
pretty
you.
Cool, man.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know. You're wired a different way than us, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks again, guys.
Yeah, we hope to raise a lot of money to help our military heroes.
We need to. Yep.
Corporal Josh Hyman, United States Marine Corps, retired. I'll be in touch with you to find out what you like for stocks.
I look forward to that conversation. Talk to you guys.
He's like, no comprendo.
Thank you. Bobby Bagels.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Glad to be back.
Nice to have you.
Wow. Where were you?
I've been laid up with some health issues. Now I'm better.
Oh, good.
Oh, all right.
Much better.
You sound great.
You do.
Okay. Is the story that story? The one that brought you in?
No.
That'd be great.
The story actually has to be this stupid thing my girlfriend did.
Okay.
And for her to end up in the hospital, but I was kind of involved with this. This is the one I told you guys about that screams instructions when we're in bed.
Right.
And what would be one of those episodes, and she was telling me to bite on her nipple, you know. And
hold on. I don't know. You know, I remember the last time you called in with something like this.
Right.
I had to dump almost the whole call.
This is true, right? All right, so dirty bagels.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, it got infected. They had to lance it at the emergency room.
No.
It got reinfected. We ended up in the breast center. And, you know, when she tells the doctors and the nurses what happened, I'm sitting out in the waiting room, and three of them come out and give me the stink eye. And they're like, you're the cause of this. They nicknamed me the nibbler.
The nibbler.
Well, not terrible thing.
They call him the nibbler. Bobby, I don't know. There's something about you that's just annoying the crap out of me. Oh my God. No, and it's loud. He's yelling.
He's probably in the back making bagels a lot.
Things
so by
I
himself.
Have to hit dump button.
Right.
Everything about this call sucks.
But thank
sorry,
you,
Bobby. Go ahead.
Yeah, but we love you. But we love you, man.
No.
I love you guys anyway. Have a good day.
You too, man. We love you too, man.
Yes,
yes. And Long Island Bagels, good
for
And
listen,
it.
Like yep, I said, everybody on in the running for Steely Dan.
Exactly.
At the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport.
Right.
We got people going there for the first time. They're coming out blown away. They're like, everything you said is true. I'm like, I know.
It's an amazing place.
Denise and Aunt Sonia.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning to you.
I was a young child, but I'm not sure how old, and we had a pussy willow plant in the yard.
Right.
Hold on. AJ, would you like to make any jokes?
I'm good.
Okay. Go ahead. All right, Denise.
So I ended up breaking off some of the stems and putting them in my ear.
Okay.
Probably not the best place to put that.
You couldn't find a vase?
Well, right.
I got water in my ear. So
that's not where you want the pussy willow.
Right.
Right. Well, I don't want to put it anywhere else.
Right.
So anyway... I end up going to the ER, and they asked why I put them in my ear, and I said I thought they were Q-tips.
So you put that thing, okay, something you put the stem, and you actually put the pussy willow in your, okay.
Yes.
I can see that.
That makes more sense.
Much more sense. You're not, you're not as crazy as I thought you were.
But wait. How old were you when you did this?
About 20. No.
34.
That's great.
Probably about 8.
Probably should know a little better.
Eight.
Like 3 or 4, I can see. Oh, that's okay. He's like, that's cute. Eight years, it's like, yeah. You know, at 8 years old, it's kind of like you probably should know better.
They're white and fuzzy. I see it. I understand.
Yeah, but the stem broke off, so I ended up putting more in there.
Yeah, you will in years.
So the stem broke and you shoved more in.
Right. Ah, no, I'll get more out of here.
So I think they took like 3 out of 1 ear and two out of the other. I mean, that was, like, pretty funny at the ER.
Right.
They're still talking about it. Remember that girl with the pussy willows in her ears?
Wow.
I'm sure they had some worse things.
Well, they were probably saying, what's wrong with you?
What?
What's wrong with you?
What? Yeah, well,
yeah. What's wrong?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I don't know if they had a DCF back then.
Well, your parents didn't stick it in your ears,
no.
Did they?
Well, I mean, if you're not watching your kid, but I had three younger.
You're 8 years old.
But, yeah.
Yeah, you're 8. You should be able to play out in the yard.
Yes. Successfully.
As long as it's fast, there's not a, you know.
What are showing the landscape in your ears?
Crazy road out in front of you.
Right.
Yeah, downstairs. The whole thing is, being a parent of two kids, well, adults, I never had a pussy willow tree in my yard.
For that reason.
Exactly.
That's not too common anymore.
Because it'd be too much just to tell them, don't put these in your ears.
Right. Or, yeah. Use common sense. Yeah, we have Q-tips in the house.
Right. Well, I did a lot of crazy things that I went to the hospital, but, like, I threw a fork at my sister, and one of the tines got into her thigh. I mean, you know.
How hard did you throw that?
Must have curled like Superman.
I had a good arm.
All right. You're a champion.
Right.
The pussy willow is going to put you in the running for the Steely Dan tickets.
Big time.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Don't hurt anybody today.
Please. Josh and Shelton, the stupid thing you did
that
sent you to the emergency room, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 to Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Go ahead.
So my brother's 16th birthday, we decided to have a giant sleepover with all the kids that we grew up with in the neighborhood. Set up a 8-person tent with 6 of us to sleep over. I'm a year older, so I went in my dad's liquor cabinet. We stole a couple bottles like Peachtree Schnapps, Goldschlager, all the stuff we knew he wouldn't notice if we took.
All the junk,
and,
really.
Seriously.
It's syrup.
Yeah, all the headache-inducing stuff.
Hangover.
Hangovers,
oh my God.
So none of us really had experience drinking, so we were drunk pretty easily. My brother got sick first, and instead
of you know
what's
the worst part about that is you don't realize I got to stop right now.
Yeah.
You just keep going.
Yep.
Oh.
Well, so, Goldschlager will make anybody sick at any time, so.
So he goes inside, and he's like, I'm not sleeping in a tent while I'm throwing up. So we continue drinking, playing cards.
Oh, wait. He wakes up. How many people threw up in the tent?
Actually, none. We all made it out. 2 people threw up, but we all ran outside.
That's good.
You got to watch where you walk, though. Yeah.
So he woke up early inside and decides to wake us all up, and he runs outside, and he decides to frog splash and collapse the tent while we're all inside it.
What's that? Frog splash?
Friend, yeah, when you jump up and just kind of just spread
like
your
a belly flop.
Like and
oh, onto the tent.
Right. Onto the tent.
He collapses the tent, and during that moment, a 2-inch moth flies directly in our friend Jeff's ear. So bad that his his ear from his collapse by this live moth who is literally beating against his drum. We wake up my mother, and we all have to drive to the emergency room, and he had to get surgery to get this moth that's literally beating up against his eardrum while he's screaming in pain.
Right.
He had to get a surgery to get it removed.
Right. Plus, he's hungover, so those drum beats must have been even worse.
Right.
Did the moth going in the ear have anything to do with jumping on the tent?
No.
With the space, all the think about it, the moths flying around or sitting on the tent, then all of a sudden you have an 8x8 room, and then there's no space. He just flew into where there was space, I guess.
Right. Which is your friend's ear canal.
Wow.
Nice.
What a chain reaction.
Seriously. Just a bad night altogether.
That's a tough night.
Yep.
I really thought someone was about to be impaled. That's where I thought this story was going. I thought the frog splash was coming.
Right.
The post didn't move.
Right.
It goes through the side and
I was picturing more like he comes crashing down, hits everybody's belly, and they all like vomit at the same time.
Almost like a pipe organ.
Exactly.
All right, Josh, thank you.
No problem.
Insects are the worst.
Yeah.
It was remember when I've never been there, but Oakdale was in the round? Oakdale.
I've heard of, yeah.
Yeah, so it was outside. And the Moody Blues were on stage, and they were doing a concert, and a beetle flew into Justin Hayward's mouth and went down his throat.
Was it during Nice and White Satin?
Breathe deep.
That would be perfect timing. Breathe deep.
But he ran off stage, and then, like, minutes later, someone came out and said, is there a doctor in the house? That thing was jammed in there.
what a Moody he was in. He almost became
it was
blue.
Moody Blues.
He almost became blue.
His face was blue. It's the Clothespin Challenge. Pop culture trivia questions to AJ. Every wrong answer, he gets a clothespin attached to his body somewhere.
Yeah, it smells like someone just got done doing carpentry work in here. These clothespins just smells like fresh
wood.
You
have one in each nostril.
Yes. Yes. And it's really starting to hurt.
So you smell wood.
Yes, I do.
It's a good look.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Adele in West Haven.
Oh, I love your music.
Hi. Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning, guys. Okay, I've got a great one. In Animal House, the guys went to a college to visit a girl, and she was killed in a kiln accident. What was her name?
Oh,
that is great.
Frida, Frida.
Phil, you know this one?
No.
So, wait, no. Hang on. Relax. they're here to see so-and-so.
That's right.
She's making a pot for me. They're here to see... Ah, crap. I can't think of it. I know the scene. I can't think. Hang on. Is there,
you're running the clock out.
I know. Fine.
Fawn Leibowitz.
Fawn Leibowitz. Damn it.
Oh,
did you remember that, Phil?
Yes. Yes.
Fawn Leibowitz,
right.
Fawn Leibowitz.
She was killed in a pottery. In a kiln explosion.
Yeah, in a kiln.
She was going to make a pot for me.
She was going to make a pot for me.
I'm going to make a pot.
I shouldn't be alone tonight. Can you bring three of your friends?
That was the best movie ever.
That was good.
That was the best movie ever.
All right, where's this one going?
Your bottom lip.
My bottom lip. Okay.
Yes.
Bottom lip. Okay.
Hey. Hey. Hey, go ahead.
This is definitely the video today.
It hurts quite a bit.
Thank you, Adele. Good job.
Oh,
Jennifer.
Isn't that good at all?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Jennifer, really, you too?
Good morning, AJ.
I'm sucking in a clothespin.
Okay.
What you got?
I'm really hoping you don't get this.
Okay.
So on Friends, Chandler, what was the name on Chandler's TV guide?
Oh.
On Chandler's TV guide, the name.
The name listed on his TV guide.
Good job.
Oh, give up. Just give up.
Hang on. I'm going to say Victoria Principal. I have no idea.
Chandler Bong.
Okay. I always need to get into the show. Okay. All right. Where's it going, Chad?
Top lip.
Top lip. Okay.
Good choice.
Okay. Oh, I wanted to pick.
Oh, it looks like a duck.
Like a duck. My, what are you going to pick? I'm just curious.
What were you going to pick?
Yeah. What are you going to pick?
I was going to pick what is called the tragus. That is that piece of cartilage immediately in front of your ear. Like women, they commonly have it pierced.
Oh, yeah. I got headphones anyway. So.
Right. He's got headphones.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Oh, right.
All right, hon. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Hey, love you. Bye.
Hey.
Michelle and Shelton.
Hey, guys. So what holiday did George Costanza's family celebrate?
Festivus.
What was that?
Festivus?
Festivus?
Festivus.
Festivus?
What was it?
A Festivus for the rest of us.
Thank you.
Oh, he got it.
Cool.
Joe and Torrington.
I've gotten a jewel.
That's all right.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
In 1979... What movie, what Vietnam War movie was Lawrence Fishburne in?
Oh, Lawrence Fishburne.
I think I know.
Apocalypse Now?
Yes.
Awesome.
Oh, I would have had that wrong.
Cool.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ed North Branford.
This is really starting to sting.
All right. The movie Super Troopers with Vermont.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Great movie. Have you seen this, AJ?
I couldn't finish it.
Really?
I couldn't finish it.
It's a local boy.
Oh, wow. I thought you would like it.
I don't know.
Farva.
Huh?
Who is Farva? It's a local boy.
I have no idea. I didn't finish the movie.
He's been here.
He's been in studio.
Oh, I wasn't here that day either.
What?
I wasn't here that day either in studio.
I can't understand you.
When they're in studio, I was not here that day.
You were not here.
An operation. Yeah.
You were out what?
I had out racing.
Operation?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said you were out racing.
That's
no.
what I thought.
Yeah, no. I wish
it's like,
I was.
Where?
I wish I was. No.
Did you win?
Yeah.
All right, what's the answer?
All right.
Kevin Heffernan.
Heffernan, that's right. Yeah, okay. All right, where are you going?
Thank you.
I'm really feeling I hate here.
Donna and Waterford.
Where are you going? I got
you
got
to put the thing on.
Hey,
oh,
guys.
Crap.
Yeah.
Hold on. That's right. What am I doing?
I don't know. What are you doing?
Under your waddle.
I don't have a waddle.
Oh, it'll stay.
Oh, my God. From the side. The side view.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I got to do it.
We're going to do this forever. Donna and Waterford.
Turkey gobbler.
How are you? So, two things. I'm going to piggyback off Jennifer. The name on Chandler's TV guide was Miss Chenandler Bong.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so the question. Season 1, episode 2 of The Gilmore Girls.
Oh, hell. Screw that noise.
I have no idea.
Where's it going?
The Lorelei's first day at Chilton. They are driving to school. They are driving past a very notable building somewhere along the Connecticut River. What is that building?
Oh, wow.
On Connecticut River. I'm going to say the Good Street House.
Close.
Damn.
Gelston House.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. Where's
There's
going?
An aerial shot of the Gelston House.
All right.
Thank you, Donna.
All right.
What about an eyebrow?
Nipple.
Ooh, better.
Yeah,
Better.
I have a feeling you do this on the weekends. Joe and Orange. Quiet down. I'm trying to do a radio here.
You look like you sneezed and everything froze.
Yeah.
Hi.
Joel.
Hi. Hey,
Hi, American Graffiti.
Yeah.
Bob Salka. What is the license plate? His 65 Chevy.
License plate on which car? American Graffiti.
55 Chevy.
55 Chevy.
I had no idea. I wouldn't have that one. Attention.
Okay. It's GLD. 204.
Okay.
I think Ashley wanted the eyebrow. Eyebrow.
Huh?
That's great.
Oh, man.
Tom Long Island.
Good morning.
Hi,
Jay.
Wow.
In Tommy Boy, the famous actress was Tommy Boy's stepmom. Got this.
Bo Derek.
Yeah.
Bo Derek. Yeah.
Damn it.
You got it. Have a good day, everyone.
There you go. I hope
one more.
Yeah. Do we have time? Okay. Who did Forbes name the youngest self-made billionaire ever?
Ugh. I'm gonna say Bill Gates.
Who?
No.
Bill Gates.
Kylie Jenner.
Who the hell's that?
All right. The other eyebrow.
We're
missing this now. This will be the video. Joe Myers, movie guy, is on. I think he's loving this Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward series on HBO.
Yeah, it's a 6-hour series, which might be too much for some people, but it's called The Last Movie Stars. And I think it debuted on HBO Max last Thursday. And, you know, they were such a part of our community for so many years that they're just not like your average movie stars. They were really good neighbors, you know, and I interviewed both of them many times over the years. And, you know, the film goes into it slightly about Joanne taking over the Westport Country Playhouse. But really, if she hadn't done that around the turn of the century, that place would be a condo development now. I am sure of it. You know, that was prime property in the center of Westport. And she took it upon herself to save that theater. She and her husband, Paul, raised tens of millions of dollars to have it fully renovated. I don't think she gets enough credit for that. You know, she did such a great thing for the town of Westport. It's just unbelievable.
Did they go into that at all or no?
They went into the fact that, you know, later in her life, she went into theater, and I believe they do mention that she was, you know, the artistic director of Westport Playhouse. But, you know, and it isn't their place. I mean, that was really a local story. That theater was in bad trouble. You know, it was going down. And like I said, it was prime property in the center of Westport. And I think it would be gone now, you know, and she turned it around. She actually upgraded the quality of the productions that were done there. And I just really came to admire her greatly. And I would do sort of a preseason interview with her every year. And charming woman, smart lady. And as the documentary shows, you know, she always carried knitting with her. I think it helped sort of focus her and keep her mind sharp or whatever. So every time I ever sat down with her, she had knitting.
Those were weapons.
Did she make anything?
Just in case you asked a bad question or disrespected one of her husband's movies.
Right.
Yes. And the thing with Paul Newman, too, was, you know, I first sort of observed him in the 80s when I first came here. And, you know, I saw some, I would say, bad temper on occasion, but it was wonderful to see him as the years pass really get mellow, you know, and like Joanne, he really loved the area. You know, one of the big things he did was he hadn't done a stage role in decades, and she talked him into doing Our Town, you know, the Thornton Wilder play, as a fundraiser for the theater. And they raised $1 million just from that production. And she also convinced him, after they did it in Westport, to take it to Broadway, where it ran many months, raised more money. And so, I mean, they were wonderful people. What can I say?
The last movie stars on HBO. Are they, is it clips of them, or is it people acting like them?
Well, it's interesting. Ethan Hawke is the director, and he was asked by one of the Newman kids if he could look at all of this material that Paul had gathered for a proposed memoir that he never got to before he died. And Stuart Stern, who wrote Rachel, the Paul Newman film, went around and interviewed almost everybody who knew them. And for whatever reason, Newman burned the tapes, but transcripts survived. So what Hawke did was call in friends like Laura Linney and George Clooney.
He literally burned them.
Yeah.
He literally burned them. According to one story I read, he took them to the town dump and burned them.
Wow.
But there were transcripts that had been typed up. And what Hawke does is he gets Clooney, Laura Linney, and other people who are friends of Ethan Hawke's to voice some of those transcripts. So you get a combination of wonderful clips that cover their whole career, both of their careers and their early days in New York and live television. But, you know, you get really sort of intimate thoughts from them that I think might surprise some people. Like Joanne Woodward at one point admits that if she had it to do over again, she might not have had children. You know, even though she adored them, her career really went.
Oops. Ma, I'm right here.
And she says something that you can see hits Ethan Hawke, where she says, actors don't necessarily make the best parents, you know. And her career really took second place to Paul's when she raised not only their three kids, but was stepmother to the three kids he had by his first wife. So, I mean, it's very honest, you know, and it goes into Paul's problem with drinking over the years.
You said he had a temper. Was there any particular event that you can't recall.
Yeah, I was at a fundraiser for Soviet Jewry when they were bringing Soviet immigrants into the country. This was back in the 80s, and he was there as a spokesman. And a TV crew came up from New York. This was right before he was going to launch Newman's Own, his tremendous charity. And this TV reporter took him aside and said, "Mr. Newman, we're up here for this event. Would you mind if we also recorded some material about Newman's Own, which you're launching?" And he got very angry, and he said, "This is not the place for this, and I'm here to talk about Soviet Jewry." And and I'm not always that sympathetic to television journalists, because often they sort of ride roughshod over print journalists, thinking they have more clout. But it was not a nice thing to witness.
All right.
But, again, it was a flare up of temper. I'm not judging him for it. And as the years passed and I interviewed him for movies like Nobody's Fool, clearly he got mellow, and he sort of would always make a reference to the fact, that I worked in Bridgeport, because he once made a movie in Bridgeport called The Effect of Gamma Rays on Man in the Moon Marigold.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And he made a statement during the filming that he thought Bridgeport was the armpit of New England. And the newspaper went crazy. They had this was before I got here.
Of New England, not just of Connecticut.
Right, of New England. Right.
Of New England.
That's a hell of an armpit.
And wow. So that was kind of a little running gag between us that, he would sort of remind me that the paper had editorialized against him for that. So I love both of them very much as local celebrities, for
He's
sure.
He's a guy who really lived life, if you think about it.
Yeah.
He was a tremendous actor.
Right. Raced cars. Everything.
Loved racing cars.
Yep.
Like that's you're on the edge when you're racing around a track and just anything could go wrong.
I saw him race at Bridgehampton. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, a guy who didn't necessarily love publicity during the peak of his career creates this Newman's Own charity, which puts his face front and center in every grocery store in America, and he raises hundreds of millions of dollars for charity.
The hole in the wall. So, from acting.
The hole in the wall camp. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Charity.
He did so much more than the average movie star in terms of using his fame and name to do good.
And did he ever get an Oscar? Because for a long time, the Oscars, they looked the other way on him because he was so damn good looking. You couldn't really take didn't take him as a serious actor.
Cool Hand Luke, did he go for that? No.
No.
He finally won for The Color of Money.
Oh, that's
right. They go into that because, in the beginning, Joanne eclipsed him. She won an Oscar early on in 1957 for a movie called The Three Faces of Eve. And for several years was considered the stronger actor. And then The Hustler and HUD started turning that around. But they overlooked him and overlooked him. People thought he was going to get it for The Verdict in the early 80s. He did not. But then The Color of Money, they finally did the right thing and gave him. But I think he had been nominated 6 or 7 times without winning.
But that was one of those, it was the scent of a woman kind of Oscar.
Yes.
It's like, we missed all these other opportunities. We got to give you one.
Him and Tom Cruise,
It's not a bad performance. Yeah. It's certainly not his best.
No.
No, I think he should.
Who was he up against?
Right.
Can you look that up, Bill?
Yeah, what was the other movies? That The Color Money won over.
Before, when he lost for The Verdict, he was beaten by Ben Kingsley for Gandhi, and I was sorry about that because I thought The Verdict was one of his very best performances.
Yeah, come on. When you see Ben Kingsley as Gandhi, it's like, that's Gandhi.
Yeah, you cannot do that.
Yeah, right.
True.
Just those diapers alone,
Well, they always say you have an advantage if you play a historical character in a movie. A lot of actors have won that way.
We're just looking this up.
Right.
All right, so Paul Newman won. The other nominees were William Hurt, Children of a Lesser God, James Woods, Salvador, Bob Hoskins, Mona Lisa, and Dexter Gordon, Round Midnight.
Never heard of it.
They
set this one up.
That was Paul's year.
It was a good year for him.
Pretty weak year.
Yep. Yeah. It's 1979, a good year or a bad year for movies. Joe, what do you think?
Well, I was, scurrying onto the internet, and I would say it was a very good year. I found 10 movies that I think are first rate and a couple of classics.
Now, which ones?
Apocalypse Now came out that year. Kramer versus Kramer came out that year.
Apocalypse Now, great movie. I got to the end. I was like, what the hell was that?
It weirds out towards the end, yeah. It really does.
Everybody criticizes.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have an ending. You're absolutely right. But, yeah. My God, on the way to the ending,
yes.
It's so spectacular.
Once they find Brando, it gets weird.
Right.
It gets very weird.
Like, what the hell just happened?
Like, something must have happened. Like, Brando must have been so whacked out.
Right.
They must have been like, we just shoot the ending.
Right, just wrap,
figure it out.
Right.
One of the problems with that movie was Brando showed up on location, I think in the Philippines, very, very heavy. So he could only be shot like in shadows, you know, in his head. And
can I request that?
Yes, you're
Coppola
waiting for us.
Wanted him move. You know, originally Kurtz was supposed to be a more active character, but Brando was really not in good shape. So Coppola had to sort of redesign.
Like
all
write
of
him
those
out,
scenes.
Put him in the end,
yeah.
All shadowy.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
You feel like something's wrong here.
Yep.
Like he rubs his bald head a lot during the last part of the movie. You know, there's not a lot of plot involving Kurtz, if you notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Apocalypse Now. Awesome movie. That'll live forever.
Yeah. Kramer versus Kramer is awfully good. That won Best Picture that year.
I actually saw that in the 9 Inch at movie theater. Yeah. Not my kind of flick, but, you know, not 9 cents. You see anything?
Yeah, I was too young to appreciate divorce and custody, and I was like, whatever.
Is that the one where it was Pacino, right? And that one, or was it
Dustin Hoffman?
No, it was Hoffman.
Goes,
Dustin Hoffman.
I forgot to beat my kids. Remember that?
Yes.
Yep.
And Meryl Streep, it was one of her first big roles. She won a supporting actress Oscar for that.
Yeah.
Good movie.
I'm surprised they haven't redone with, like, you know, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
I can see them in the modern-day version of that role.
Right. You know? Well,
I
don't know about Meg Ryan now, but certainly Tom Hanks is still hot.
All
right, so Kramer versus Kramer, Apocalypse Now. What else?
One of Peter Sellers' best movies, Being There. I don't know if you've ever seen that. A very interesting movie. He was nominated for it. He lost to Dustin Hoffman. But it's an interesting movie about politics in America. And he plays this really bizarre character named Chauncey Gardner.
They think he's like some kind of, he thinks he's like some kind of prophet, a genius. Yeah.
Yes. But he's a moron.
Yeah.
And they interpret everything.
I love him.
They interpret.
Yeah.
It's one of his best performances, and I always loved him. So that went on my list immediately.
Right.
But does that count as a great movie to make a good year? That's like a...
But they think everything he says is deep, because it says something about, like, if there's like a gardener, if there's something, then the flowers bloom in the garden, and they're all, like, thinking, like, oh, it's deep. He's like, no, he's talking about the freaking garden as being a gardener, and they think it's a metaphor for the world and life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yep.
It's a good movie.
Okay, Being There.
Yep. It wasn't all there.
If you're a Woody Allen fan, which I am, that year he had Manhattan, which I think is one of his very best movies. That's the one with Meryl Streep and Diane Keaton. Very, very good movie.
Is that the one with Van Gogh? Or was that Annie Hall? Where he said, the girl said Van Gogh?
I think that was Annie Hall.
Okay,
yes,
who says Van Gogh?
All right.
Can I take back what I said?
No, it's a great year for movies.
I think I was wrong. It sounds like it sucks.
You're missing Just and Justice for Al Pacino.
There's a couple of great movies here he missed.
Yeah.
Well, I have
Alien.
Alien is the star, I think,
Alien.
Of this year.
Alien.
The first Alien.
Right.
Fabulous movie.
Rocky Two.
That's the best one. That's by far the best one.
Meatballs.
China Syndrome.
I mean, come on.
I don't know what that is.
China Syndrome.
Hey, 10.
Breaking Away.
10.
I don't think that was a good movie.
Oh, it was a great movie.
I never saw it.
Oh. Dudley Moore was hilarious in the movie.
Nah.
Yep.
That gave us Bo Derek.
Right.
The Jerk.
I mean, come on. Cinematic
masterpiece. The new phone books are here. The new phone books are here.
Right. I don't need you. I need this chair and this thermos.
That movie could have been so bad, but he was so good.
I need this chair and this thermos.
It's true. There's
and this
really
pinwheel.
Only one person that can pull off that character for an entire movie.
Yep.
Yeah. The only other person, like Jim Carrey in his prime, could have done that movie.
Yes. Right.
But yes. Steve Martin was just, at that time, brilliant.
He was Navin R. Johnson. He came up with the Optigrab, the thing you put on your sunglasses so it doesn't come off. And everybody's eyes crossed because of the polarity, the magnetic polarity. Mm. And everybody took their, and Carl Reiner was the guy introducing the the lawsuit. Yes. And he takes his sunglasses off, and you see his eyes are crossed.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.